Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. The show that...
Yep, that's what I thought.
Fan Run Radio.
Today, we are here to move volunteer athletics forward to greatness. It is my sincere honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Danny White to the great University of Tennessee.
Really excited to be here. So proud to step into this unbelievable opportunity. I've never worked at the big brand place until now, and I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. Let's build some positive momentum. If you're upset or you're negative, text your buddy. Don't put it on social media.
No. You were doing fine. You had been courteous and you had established trust. And now this ham-handed segue, it won't do.
Of the people that we hire, a head coach that I can trust unequivocally. We obviously have some work to do on our football program, as the Chancellor mentioned, from a leadership standpoint and, candidly, a competitive standpoint.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Don't say.
We can go when we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Victory Thursday edition of the program.
I'll be with you in a minute.
Sorry, it was just more fun to have. Tennessee baseball, big winners. Tennessee basketball, big winners. You give me a look.
I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry.
Davey's back. We got new Alex. Back in his normal playing position. Ready to rock and roll with the dynamite pun drop-ins.
Hello.
You got to turn the mic on.
Oh, no.
Got to turn the mic on. Actually, a lot of listeners probably don't want you to, so maybe you're just helping them out. I don't know. It's up to you. Do your thing.
See, now he's gun-shy.
See, now he's nervous.
I need to know if the mic was actually turned off or if there's just a problem with getting it going, so just go ahead.
No, it's on.
The mic was off.
There we go.
Yeah, okay. See.
You see, it was the switch on the top. I had the, you know, dial.
Yeah, you got to turn it on. It's key.
Davey, do we have Commander Chuck ready this morning?
No, but we'll get there. Oh. I got like 25 minutes.
I got all that stuff fixed up just for you.
We got some serious weather moving in. People need the traffic.
Well, when we have our first traffic update, it will be good to go.
All right. Good. What a day.
Yeah.
Congrats to you.
Sorry.
Definitely missed that yesterday. Uh-huh. Not.
You're about to say congrats.
Let yeah, you were right. Oh. Fewer than 20 runs, more than 10.
There you go.
Of all baseball. Jeez. And whoever texted Davey yesterday and said, baseball talk, really? Yeah, sorry. Not a whole lot going on right now. So when the Diamond Vols are kicking ass, we're going to talk about it. At least mention it. What was the final yesterday? Like 15 to 7? 15 to 8?
I think it was 14 to 2.
No, they scored more than two. They scored like 5 runs in the 8th or 9th or something. Not ideal. It's okay.
That's your weekday starters and pitchers.
True.
Getting young guys more work.
Yeah. Arkansas Pine Bluff.
I was telling Nate, the first inning for Tennessee at bat lasted about an hour. we scored like 8 or 9 runs in the first, and from that point on, the game was pretty much
kind of over.
Yeah, the game was pretty much over.
How about that basketball team, though, huh? Huh?
Talking about Rutgers? They beat Indiana.
Congrats.
Mm-mm. No. We ended the show yesterday with Rutgers. We are not starting today's show with Rutgers. That, my friend, is a promise.
Do you think Barnes just was trolling us yesterday? You know how we said he should go to dribble drive, and then he did, and we joked. We're like, oh, he listens to the show. They came out last night running the most mid-range-centric sets. They did end up getting to the basket and then hitting some threes to start with. A listener even tweeted at us about that. And as soon as the listener tweeted, it was like 4 straight trips where we took mid-range jumpers. I think we made one, missed a couple, turned it over a gazillion times in the first half.
After our discussion yesterday, I watched that game with like a new lens. I was probably the most mad I've been watching a Tennessee game, in which we led essentially the entire time.
Yeah, it was like we were going to win that game.
Right. I even tweeted as such. I said, Tennessee might win, but this offense is broken. The mid-range jumper. We love that mid-range jumper. We love to put it on the floor once, have 18 more feet to go between ball and rim, and just say, boy, I could shoot up a little floater here from 18 feet. A little leaning towards the rim jump shot. Oh, dynamite. It was not good, Bob.
Mm-mm.
I was frustrated.
I was the same way. I was watching them run all the little pin downs and all the screening. And again, they moved like a million bucks. I mean, just the movement, how they read the screens. Like that first pass at the top of the key, like they're not even looking to score from there. Like Pons caught it wide open at one point, just passed the ball.
Yep.
Because they're just trying to run pretty offense that doesn't work, that doesn't score. I mean, he scored 70 points against basically half of Vanderbilt team.
Well, that's what was hilarious. So after the game, people were like, why are you're so negative. And I'm like, they were missing their two best players. We were joking yesterday, like, what if Scottie Pippen Jr. drops 50 on us? He didn't play. He's our best player. He's averaged 20 points a game. He didn't play.
Yeah.
And then the other guy who's out, apparently he's out for the year, which I don't know what's going on there. Feels, you know, terrible. But apparently he's been playing really well lately, and he's done. So he didn't play. So their most recent two best players were out.
And they're losing at one point in the first half.
Yeah, it just, you know. I will admit, they did what – you know, we were talking about the 3-point bias.
Right.
They hit a lot of junk threes. I mean, garbage threes.
Watch any game, though, in college basketball. Every team is going to do that.
I understand. But that is the worst 3-point shooting team in the league. And they...
13 of 33.
Yeah. They shot 33 of them, but they did hit 13.
Dylan Dessous, the other player for Vandy.
You know what's most frustrating for me? It's when Pons finally decided to just go all the way to the basket and just dunked it on everybody. I was like, dude, every time.
I'm sorry. Did we say that yesterday? That's right, Alex. We were talking about if he's a senior and can't put the ball on the floor once or twice to get to the rim, whose fault is that? What does he do last night? 2 dribbles.
Boom.
Air time. The French Connection. Like, it's so easy.
I remember watching an NBA, like a finals game with LeBron. I think it was when he was with Cleveland the first time in the finals, and they lost the series, but it was a stretch where he realized that they just could not guard him, and he just went to the basket like 8
that.
Straight trips, and it was like 4 times he scored and 4 times he went to the free throw line. Like, Pons every damn time. But the problem is this motion offense doesn't allow for that.
Yeah.
Did you see what Vanderbilt did to us when Pember came into the game? Did you see how obvious basketball it was?
Everything we complained about yesterday, good and bad,
happened.
Like, it happened.
Yeah.
Like, Pons, put the ball on the floor. All right, I'm going to put the ball on the floor and sky, and I'm going to dunk it. Oh, that was great. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate it when Barnes runs those two big lineups when the other guy that comes in just can't score. Enter Drew Pember. God love Drew Pember. But
the most embarrassing one was when they got a switch or something, and then Jerry Stackhouse from the other end of the floor is yelling at all the guys to go stand over in the other side of the court so that dude could go one-on-one on Pember.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember. And then he hit the three right in his face. It wasn't even a good shot.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
On Pember. Yeah.
Poor kid. And then he blew a bunny. He got shoved out of the way for an offense rebound dunk, which no one ever mentioned that on the game. But if you watch that one play, they actually ran the replay as they went to break, where Vanderbilt misses a shot, and then all of a sudden their big guy gets it, and no one's around him, he dunks it. That's because Pember got just manhandled under the basket.
Yeah, he got booty boxed. Just dismissed. Man, Olivier Cumwa, 4 minutes, 2 of 2, two rebounds, one steal, 4 points.
Like, you can't play Pember as a five. Come on.
No, you can't. But why did Cumwa score 4 points in 4 minutes with two rebounds and a steal and didn't go back in the game? Like, he's a better option than Fulkerson at this point.
Did as much as Fulkerson. When Fulkerson had 16 minutes, Cumwa had four.
Golly. Oh, no, hang on. Fulkerson did have one extra rebound.
There you go.
And also a turnover and three fouls.
You finished with 17 turnovers against a depleted 6-12 Vanderbilt team.
Yeah, we were sloppy. It wasn't good.
It was the worst defensive rating in the SEC.
We scored 70 points against the worst defensive team, missing three players total, or was it just two?
Three.
It was two of their best.
They're two best players and another guy. Incredible. You know, this is the bad part. This is the pessimistic side of rating the game regardless of the opponent. Like in football this year, we're going to have to do a lot of the opposite, and a lot of Sheepy fans are going to love that. Like, yeah, we lost by 17 to Alabama, but man, look at that hype offense. It really, you know, it showed flashes. It can do. We're going to have to do that, right? I mean, sure, hopefully we can at least we'll be able to be positive about some of the performances, even in a loss. This is where you have to be negative about some of the, at least some of the things that happen in a win. I mean, I quit watching it. I had Alabama, Arkansas on the second TV, and I found myself just not even like it was in my line of sight and not watching it. And then I was like, I don't even care anymore. I'm done. Once they were up 15, second half, and I was done. Switched it.
Yeah, we just didn't fix anything.
No, we're not going to.
Victor Bailey's fixed.
Well, yeah, we said that a couple games ago. For some reason, the guy shoots well when he's a starter.
He's up to 37% now. Nice. Shooting from three.
He has more points over the last three games than he did in the previous 11 combined. It was like 63 in his last three to 62 in the previous 11. Yeah, he's helping you out.
I mean, I think Barnes' philosophy is that they'll figure out how to score in his, you know, beautiful three-level scoring machine motion offense. So, I don't know.
I said yesterday I wanted Pons to take a couple more threes. He did. He was 0-3. Keon Johnson, tough night. Did have a sweet little baseline slip slam.
It'd really help if Josiah would work on his shot this offseason. Is he coming back?
Like, where next would he year? Go?
He's got options. Welcome to the show, Dave. He could transfer to Clemson or Oklahoma. Everyone else is going there.
Where would he go?
I don't know. 16 minutes in, and there's Dave with the, where would he go?
He needs to work on his shot for next year, though.
Yeah. He was 1 of 6, 0 of 1 from 3, and the maddest I got all night. He gets the ball at the three-point line. Defender closes out, little pump fake, gets him on his toes, goes around him one dribble, wide open, drive to the basket. I'm thinking, oh, boy. Here he goes, but I will say this. He does stink attacking the basket. He's not good at it. He, like in transition or if he gets an open way to the lane, if anyone's in the way, he's going to miss a layup every time. So
that's, how do we get all these guys that can't make?
I don't know.
Can't score.
But that said, he comes, little up fake, little pump fake, dribble, and there it is. Just a wide open lane where he could drive, draw, and dish, or drive and kick. He takes one more dribble and shoots a leaning, floating jumper from 17 or 18 feet. Did it go in? No, it didn't go in because it was the worst shot in basketball. And we did it all night long. Keon couldn't hit anything. Springer, he had a quiet 20. I mean, he went 10 for 10 from the free throw line. I don't remember Jaden Springer hitting anything.
Andy, big listener of the show, had already tweeted that video.
Yeah, last night.
Watch Pember just get shoved almost like.
Yep.
into the.
Oh, that's how you do it. Hashtag weight room. Perfect.
I've seen Andy play basketball. He'd be stronger than that.
In fairness, I think that's a foul. I don't think you can elbow someone in the top of the back. But, Pember, you gotta hold your ground. Pember turns around like terrified. He's like, oh, I got pushed. Yeah.
I didn't realize our station Twitter account tweeted out, all caps, your Tennessee Volunteers, and then didn't lose. And it's got the spelling bee guys like not even excited as the kid comes down.
It was I said yesterday I just wanted to feel good after the game. Like, I just want to watch this game. I want to feel good afterwards. Nope. Mm-mm. I mean, I won my bets.
No, like, reading Will Warren's piece yesterday was like taking a bite out of the apple from the tree of knowledge. Like,
yeah.
We see the evil and the good now.
And it's like we knew it,
right?
But then you look at the data, the numbers, and you're just like, it's way worse than I imagined.
Oh, God. And then I've got Alabama and Arkansas here on the other television, and there were possessions where I'm like, there's no one inside the 3-point line right now, like, for either one of these teams. Like, I mean, they just went down three straight trips, and basically, they're like, both teams are kind of in this 5-out ISO ball screen. You know, the only time people go to the basket is if they're cutting the basket for a dunk or driving to the basket for a dunk.
Let me find this real fast. I don't think we gave this exact stat.
Oh.
Ah, yes. Here it is.
Scrounge it up.
This is before last night's game, obviously. Tennessee on the season, 324 mid-range jumpers. 324.
Yeah.
Do you know how many Alabama had going into the game last night?
No, but I remember Campbell was like second in the top 25 offensive efficiency. They had like 200. Anyway, how many does Alabama have?
Okay, we've taken 324 mid-range jumpers. If you had
Alabama, top 10 team, best team in the SEC.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they got pants last night. But how many mid-range jumpers on the season do you think they've taken?
175.
36. That's a 3 with a 6 behind it.
360.
Period. 36 mid-range jumpers to Tennessee's, let me calculate, 324.
Carry the 1. 324 to 36.
I mean, we take 10 times as many mid-range jumpers as they do.
Well, Houston, they lost last night. We won. So
I understand that. They got housed.
But the craziest number is when we only shoot 4% better from mid-range than from 3.
Yeah.
4%. 4.
I wonder. I can do this. That's right. One moment, please. I'm going to count our mid-range jumpers.
You don't have it pulled up?
No, not the little shot chart. I never can remember where to find that stupid thing. Is that on the team stats?
I mean,
page?
You get 50% more points, right? Like, going from 2 to 3. Like, 50% of the 2. Like,
that is accurate.
You get 50% more points.
You a math guy?
But we only shoot 4% better.
Only if you make them, though.
Take, or if you want to look at it as we subtract 33% of the pointage for a 4% increase in shooting. How much, like, not to mention, this doesn't even get in to my senior thesis work as an undergrad.
Momentum of the 3-pointer.
That says when you hit a 3, there's even built-in extra momentum that you're more likely to go on runs after made threes. And it doesn't happen because of the extra point. Because magnitude of runs after threes is slightly smaller,
significantly insignificant.
With free throws and twos.
I can't find that shot chart.
Basically, my work said, if you can make threes, you need to be taking them.
Of course.
36. That reeks of a guy that puts down tape at the beginning of the year when you practice and says, no shots here. Right? I mean, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw Terry make one. Terry, is that right? Alabama guy that always kills us. Perry.
Petty.
Petty. God.
Put it in reverse, Terry.
What are you doing, Terry?
Oh,
I saw Petty take a mid-range jumper like at the end of the shot clock.
I was gonna say it. That was my first question when I saw 36. I was like, man, it's a low number. Then I was like, how many of those were like had to shoot it? Like we have an open layup and we're like, no,
mid-range baby.
Jumper. That's the one. Alabama's like, I bet you half of those are shot clock winding down.
Springer pulled up from the free throw line in a fast break, hit the front rim, backboard, rolled it in, and whoever the announcer, color commentator, was like, that's just a great decision by Jaden Springer. I'm like, only because it rolled in? If that thing clanks off the front of the rim, no, it's not. It's a worst shot in basketball. But 36, and I mean, they've already played 20-something games, right?
Oh, yeah, they've played a lot more than we have.
They're averaging less than two mid-range jumpers a game. They are shooting less than a mid-range jumper a half. Think about it that way. They go entire halves of basketball without shooting a mid-range jumper.
It's layups, dunks, or threes.
That reeks of a coach that puts down tape when the year starts and says, no shots here, boys, none. We are to the rim or shooting threes.
Didn't they score, like 115 points in one game?
That's a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know how quickly you can skew that.
Against Georgia, right?
Yep.
You know how quickly you can skew that average, too, if you were to shoot, say, three or four mid-range jumpers in one half of basketball like we do? I mean, that means they are going many, many halves, zero mid-range jump shots.
I would say they probably have a game or two.
Yeah.
With not a one.
Not one. Probably won those games, too.
And we're averaging, 13 or 14 a game. Our two-game total is probably right around their season total. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That should be right. We're at 12 or 13 a game.
Mm-hmm.
We shoot six and a half
so,
a half.
So, yeah, three games. Our three-game total is their season, and they have way more games played than we do.
Okay, well, talking about games being played, we currently have one more regular season game scheduled.
That is true.
How many more games does this team play total?
Two.
Wait, are we sure about that? I thought we have two. Because we have never mind.
I had heard that they were going to do, the Florida game here and then the road South Carolina game, but I don't know if they're going to do that.
Yeah, I was thinking about the rescheduled Vandy game, which is exactly what we just played.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
And as of right now, Auburn's the only game we have listed
left
on the schedule.
Saturday at noon.
All right.
On the Plains.
Okay.
11 a.m. local time.
Oh, I'll be dead.
Every time we play them down there, it's a noon game.
Whatever.
I don't get that.
No crowd, really, so it won't matter.
And the Bama game against Georgia, in which they scored 115, they went 36 of 56 from the field that game. 30 of those shots were threes.
What'd they go from the three-point line?
Yeah, 30 of those shots were threes, so they made 18 of them.
Okay, so 18 of 30 from
three. They shot 60%.
60% from three.
And you shot 30 of them.
We shoot 38% from the mid-range. That's the thing. I don't even think guys shoot better from mid-range anymore.
No.
Especially because when you shoot from mid-range, a lot of times you're coming off the dribble. Most of the time, if you take a good three,
you're open.
You catch
you're
and
set.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. David said, he tweeted at you, he said, so basically what you're saying is Bama would almost rather take a shot clock violation than take the shot that Rick Barnes prefers. Neat. He put an I instead of O on shot clock. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it's funny.
Look at Alabama's shot chart on the right. Not a single shot in the mid-range. All in the paint,
that's
in the
crazy.
Key.
There's one shot from outside the paint that's not a three.
But, yeah, but it's
and it's like
short
on the block.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say.
Yeah, it's like 7 feet.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they classify mid-range as... Well, they broke it into two sections, 8 to 14 and 14 to, 20, basically. Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
We'll think about that, and we'll break it down even more. Sorry, I'm reading the bleep clock violation.
I don't think that was an accident.
No, I'm sure it was. It's just funny.
It's so funny. It's
like when you say shock cock.
Yeah. Donnie said threes and layups. It's a new era. No, shoot. That was from last night. And then we took four straight mid-rangers. Yikes. It's worse than playing a bad game because it means you'll never be good. Like, you will never be really good playing this style. Never. So should we just go ahead and fire up the hot boards or?
No.
Okay.
We're not firing up the hot board.
Should we maybe, should we write another fan petition? Change our style of play for 2022?
No. All they got to do is get hot.
Okay.
That's all.
Maybe we should just skip the coach. I mean, it's motion. The kids get to decide where they shoot. Just send a message. Who's the leader of this team? Who should we message?
That's a different question and a different problem.
James? Pons? Fulkerson?
I don't know.
Keon? He's kind of alpha. No?
Jaden?
I mean, is there a group chat? We can just put it in. Hey, guys, why don't we quit taking those mid-range shots? Mm. Either dunk it like Pons did or make threes like Sandy.
Sharif Cooper's a game-time decision for Saturday.
That's a bummer.
Come back with more.
Santi was 1 of 4.
That was his first make in like 3 games or something.
Oh, good.
I don't know. That's what the color commentary said. I didn't think that was right, but what do I know? Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio.
It has begun.
What has?
The Guaranteed Rate Bassmaster Elite Series on the Tennessee River.
I already knew.
Got a text from a buddy.
You're going to be worth it.
Lives on the lake there. Went out to start his car. And he's like, whoa, text me. Is there a big tournament? Oh, yeah. 4 days.
They're whizzing by, huh? Just
$125,000 first place prize.
Would they have been practicing the last couple days?
Yeah, have you not seen all the boats driving around town, like the rat boats and trucks and stuff?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. There was somebody like, I was in a back holler of the. It's Loudon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How far can they go?
As far as they want.
I actually have seen a lot of.
I mean, I saw a
boats
dude.
Boats come back in the cove.
And a, didn't look like your normal.
No, if it was like wrapped with sponsors on it or something. Yeah, he was probably out there practicing.
I couldn't tell if that was the case, but he was. Yeah, that would have been a way down. I don't know.
I'm trying to think.
Might just be the weather. So nice. Everybody's out fishing.
When they were here for the Classic, there were quite a few guys who on the first day ran from downtown to like the upper end of Teleco.
Mm-hmm.
I mapped that once. I think it's 92 miles.
Okay.
Well, one way.
Definitely possible.
Maybe not. Maybe it was 70 something.
On the upper
end. It was over 100 round trip. I know that.
90 seems too much.
I'm talking like the Chilhowee Dam. Yeah. To downtown. It's a haul.
It is.
It's a haul. I've never. I mean, they'll boat for 2 hours, one way, and eat into 4 hours of fishing time because they got to go back. The guy who almost won the last one did that. He got like 2 hours to fish the first day because there was a fog delay, and he had like a 3 hour because of all the no wake zones and all that. You don't have much of that on Loudon, at least not on the main channel. But, yeah, it's underway. I'll keep you posted on the Bass Track.
All right. You do that. We're all on pins and
needles. I know. Well, it's either that or just complain about Rick Barnes, this offense. Poof.
Well, I'd like to confirm Davey's, I don't know what you would want to call it, but his question of where Josiah would go.
Uh-huh.
Seems as those options are limited.
Okay.
So I'd like to confirm that because in SI's latest mock draft, as of 18 hours ago, they have Keon going 10th overall,
mm-hmm.
Jaden Springer going 21st overall,
okay.
And Eve Pons going 56th overall. And Josiah James is not in the top 60, which is all the picks in the NBA draft. So
that's a shame.
Is Fulkerson going to come back now? We thought that was like a foregone conclusion. Oh, he's going to be that stud college player that you just get for – 84 years.
Like Luke May.
Yep.
Is that North Carolina for 30 years?
Yep. But now, does he even want to come back if this continues?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I would think he would want to come back.
What did you think last night when they were showing Rick Barnes and Dean Smith getting into it?
That's what he's mentioned that story several times.
I
was actually kind of like, oh, yeah, Nate, they, Nate talks I mean, about this all the time.
They showed it, and you could just see it's, I mean, that's two different coaches. And I'm not talking about Rick Barnes and Dean Smith in that analogy. Gotcha.
You mean Rick Barnes then, Rick Barnes now.
Yeah.
Mm. He's softened. He's
mellowed.
Yeah. Not quite the young whippersnapper that he once was.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if if this team needs more of that fiery Rick Barnes, or if they just need to completely overhaul like how they do things. I mean, look, it's completely joking, obviously, with the fire up the hot board. But they've got to make some changes over there, because you have a team with no point guards, no fives. So you're playing with twos, threes, and fours on your whole roster.
Mm.
I mean, it's great to have Keon and Jaden and have some five-star guys, but I guess this just kind of proves that you're not going to be an elite basketball team if your pieces don't all fit together somehow.
Mm.
I mean, this is like it's like having a beautiful puzzle in the box, and then you dump all the pieces out, and then like they just don't all, like, they've been cut kind of funky. It's like you can kind of see it, and in some areas it looks real clean, but the whole thing doesn't go together because we don't have a starter point guard type person that will keep the tempo where it needs to be. We don't have a big guy that forces teams to have to double. Like, Nate Oates is getting ready to play Tennessee in the tournament coming up. Let's just imagine that. Let's say it's a semifinal. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Alabama coaches are sitting around going, all right, well, what are we going to do with Fulkerson when he gets touched on the block? Are we doubling from here? No. They're just going to be like, hey, Fulkerson likes to turn over his right shoulder because he's, you know, like.
No, he's going to say, stay in front of your man.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, when Keon or Springer drive, try to collapse. All right, good talk. Thus concludes the defensive scout for the University of Tennessee.
I mean, unless you have a big guy that requires double teaming, I don't think you should run this style of offense.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely don't have that.
I still think something's wrong with folks.
If you have guys that can make the mid-range, that can't. If you don't have players that can score at all three levels, why are you running an offense designed to get shots at all three levels? Basically, it boils all down
to that.
It felt
like early in the season we actually did hit some mid-range. Like, we hit a better clip. At least it felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we fell in love with it as a team or if Barnes thought, yep, that's where we're going to make our money, right there, 16 feet. But the last few games, it's not been good.
Well, the problem is we settle for it when we could get fouled.
Exactly.
Or dunk it.
Yeah, yeah.
That Kentucky game where they committed zero defensive fouls for like 12 minutes or something.
Oh,
to start the game. Or
15. It was eight, and then they didn't get their second one until like 5 minutes to go.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's just
we don't pressure defenses.
You know what I would do to Tennessee? If I was the, let's say, what are we going to be, a six seed, Alex? Like, so if we're the.
Yeah, we're within that 5-6 range.
We're not even going to be that good. But if I was an 11, felt like I was a big underdog, I'd zone up Tennessee. Because we won't attack it. We'll just pass around and settle for a jumper.
Well, yeah, we'd get it right in the middle, and then we'd turn around and shoot that free throw line extended
11
shot.
Seeds are probably feel like they can just beat us straight up. But if we were a 2 or a 3, if I was a 14 playing Tennessee and felt like I was undermanned, I'd definitely throw a bunch of junk defenses at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd run some of that half-court trap. Like,
I was going to say,
Miss.
I'd half-court trap, I'd press.
Yeah.
I'd run like a different press
and
every,
then I'd
every time.
Pack in the zone and force them to just –
three-quarter court jack, man, 1-3-1.
In Lenardi's bracketology, he has us playing St. Bonaventures, who's an 11, but the other 11 seeds that he has are Seton Hall, VCU, and the winner of a first four game between Indiana and Xavier. And St. Bonaventures, I feel like, is the – better 11 seed for Tennessee to face off. But a VCU or a Seton Hall, I definitely could see them doing that against us.
Yikes.
Mm. Auburn on Saturday.
Where are they at on the year? What's their deal?
They lost two nights ago because of their point guard being out. Mm. Their freshman stud, Alex said he's a game time decision.
Auburn 65th in the KenPom. 11-13. Rough year for Pearl.
Well, they got that postseason ban.
Yeah, they went ahead and just took their medicine. They've lost 6 out of their last 7. Yowzers.
What? They've lost 6 out of their last 7?
That's what this says.
Yo.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, they want Pearl back. We want Pearl.
Take him in a heartbeat.
Rick Bonds. Lost 6 out of 7, man. Also, he's 5-10 in conference.
Yeah, I know.
And he's been cheating his ass off to get players.
I didn't say it.
11-13 overall.
I didn't say he'd agree with me. I just. Tennessee's supposed to win that game by 4, according to KenPom.
73-69.
Helps turn the mic on if you want people to hear you.
It's on.
I was going to say, there's no way I heard that if it wasn't on.
He was just kind of buried in his.
He just whispered it. BPI says Tennessee is a 74.6% favorite to win over Auburn.
It's kind of amazing we're as good as we are, really.
But that's what I said all day yesterday. Like I give, it's amazing we've won as much as we have, considering we play the worst offense I've ever seen. Thank God our defense is good.
I don't know what to tell you. I can't. You're just mad watching it. I was the same way. I was just like, I texted Billy Williford at the first TV timeout.
You texted a buddy.
I did.
That's good.
I did. I followed Dr. Danny's advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said at 9:16 p.m., I hate this b-ball team.
16 minutes in?
9:16.
The game was even – it was a late start. It didn't even start till like 5 after.
Yeah, it was a rough start.
Yeah, that's true.
Bill will applaud, yeah, this team sucks.
I was like just
– You know, if you text a buddy and then read it on air, I don't know if it counts the
I
same
didn't
way
put it on social media.
The show is tweeted out.
Was it 3-3, like 3.5 minutes in? It was very – I'm trying to think of the right phrase to use, but points weren't.
Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, points weren't. I don't even know. Like, that's what this team does. It's just like, meh.
Good stuff, Dave. Appreciate it.
Billy sent his hot board. He said, I heard hot board. Send it in.
With 16 minutes to go in the first half, Dave, it was 5-4.
Sounds about right then.
Yeah, we. Really good pace there. We had 7 points with 14:37 to go in the first half. But then Vanderbilt went on a – let me make sure I get this right.
Oh, poor Sam.
5-minute scoring drought. And then they went on – looks like a 4-minute scoring drought to start the second half. Thank God we – There's our drought. Yeah, let's see here. We scored a basket at 12:21 and didn't score another basket until 6:28. So a 6-minute scoring drought in the first half last night again. I would say that's probably around Pember time. Is that Pember time? Just checking.
I feel like they have a dartboard with all the outside the top – 8 guys, 7 guys, whatever it is.
Oh, no, there's no way. You can at least look at a dartboard.
And they just throw it up there and like, oh, it's Pember's night.
No, they just draw ping pong balls. That's all it is.
Did Anna Siki play last night?
No. No. He feels like he's in the doghouse.
Yeah.
Kamala scored twice within a minute, and we never saw him again.
Yep. Yeah. 4 points, 2 of 2, 4 minutes. Bench.
Rick said that was too fast. Benched him.
Yeah. Pace was a little too high.
Final segment, hour one next. This segment brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of 3 and Out. Become a member. Go to TVAcreditunion.com or just walk into one of the over 30 branches all around East Tennessee. They got you covered. Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of 3 and Out. I wish KenPom would give you the most efficient lineups for a team. Maybe it's in the weeds somewhere and I just don't know where to look, but
it gives you the most Will Warren did that lineups. Yesterday.
Well, I know. I wish that for every team. It gives you the most frequent lineups over the past five games. For Tennessee, okay. That's Vescovi, Johnson, Springer, James, Fulkerson.
I think they do it for college. I'll give them a shout-out, but I don't know if you've heard of Winwall.
Got the check. No.
So, it's a very popular for, like, NBA, NHL, really just any professional team sport, but it does a really good job of breaking down each individual player's performance. And then they use each individual player's statistics to kind of give an idea of what will happen throughout the course of a game. The guy who created it, I mean, like, the like Mark Cuban has bought that programming to basically evaluate the people that they go out and have join the Mavericks. He even uses it to determine which lineups he should play during a game.
This is kind of interesting on KenPom's, basically his contribution metrics. Tennessee's top three players, two major contributors and a significant contributor. The top two are Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. Third is Victor Bailey. Then Vescovi. Then Fulkerson. Then James. Then Kamwa. Then Pons.
Kamwa ahead of Pons.
That's what this says. I don't know.
Fascinating.
Yeah, that feels weird. But, I mean, that
feels impossible.
Like, it's like what Warren said in his piece. Why is Pons not setting a million ball screens and then coming off of it to just do damage?
I don't know.
Saving it for the tournament.
We have been saying that. Maybe Barnes is holding some stuff back.
Yeah, right. There's no way that's the case.
I mean, it only took him 5 years, but maybe this is the year. Gearing up for a big postseason run.
Oh, they're going to run some money in the tournament? Two down screens on one side, one on the other, and just have Keon.
Look, I know it wasn't pretty. It hasn't been pretty, but we got to be positive. We got to be hopeful. One more regular season game scheduled.
Yep.
Then some tournament play. At this point, it feels like, I mean, is there a team in the SEC that you just don't think we can beat, maybe besides LSU?
Bama.
I 100% think we could beat Bama.
I think we can beat anybody.
I think we should have beat them the first game.
I'll say it, man. Arkansas's been hot lately.
They have been. No, they're playing a lot better. The Jack Skellington kid had a really nice.
Did he? Yeah,
Vanover?
He had a good game last night. He had a nice dunk.
Well, he's 7 feet tall. He should.
Yeah, I know.
Have a couple of nice dunks a day.
A day.
A day, yeah.
I actually stood up and screamed and said, attaboy, Davey! Because he kind of, you know, is tall.
Nah, man, I'm Brady Manick.
You're basically everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ty Simpson was tweeting about him being a five-star, and I just saw his profile. I was like, that is me.
They gave the measurables. You're Ty Simpson also?
No, they gave the measurables, so I would say Ty Simpson is me.
That's true. You were here first. Fair enough.
Moses. Like, who have our listeners heard about beforehand? Davey Hudson, Ty Simpson. Which came first? Well, it's obviously me, so.
That's a good point.
Moses Moody of Arkansas against Bama last night went 3 of 12 from the field, but 16 of 19 from the free throw line.
It's a lot of throws.
But I think you're...
I don't want to play Arkansas. I wouldn't mind playing... I don't want to play Arkansas. I don't want to play LSU. Those are my two.
What about Florida?
Wouldn't mind seeing Florida again.
Okay.
There's no way we can play...
They're just as spotty as us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no way we could play that poorly again.
I guess I could get on the same train of thought for Bama because, like, last night they shoot 33% from three. So if we can... You know, hold them to a.
How many did they shoot?
33.
They shot 33 last night? They shot 33 threes? They were 11 of 33.
Yep.
Okay. I wouldn't mind playing Bama again. Especially SEC tournament.
Yeah.
You know, new rims, probably not going to come out firing on all cylinders. David tweets in, says, Barnes told Cumwa you can't go scoring all the time all willy-nilly. Two quick buckets. Have a seat.
What was he getting all over Santee for? Passing the ball while he's in the air? Or something else?
We did have, like, two back-to-back turnovers where we literally just threw it out of bounds.
I told you, at the beginning of the season, I was like, we were so sloppy with the basketball.
The one on the kind of the corner, right in front of Stackhouse, I think he thought Keon was going to cut out, and he faked that cut and went in, and Viscovi just throws it into their bench.
John Fulkerson continuing the trend of scoring our first points.
Mm.
He scored at the 18:26 mark. I'll let you know when I find the next bucket.
It's
is that when he missed the free throw on the and one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nope. Made a layup, 13:31 of the first half, never to be seen again.
How's that even possible?
I don't know.
How does he not luck into baskets? We talk about that Virginia team that won the national championship. They have post players who literally in their offense are never designed anything for. They're just supposed to screen for guys, and they still end up scoring a bunch of points. Or not even that many. I mean, you know, scoring some points in an offense that scores, you know, 60 a game. And Fulkerson, who was like go-to guy last year.
The fulcrum.
Can't even. It's so weird.
It's a head-scratcher. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Tennessee, we'll come back. We'll update you where Tennessee is in the SEC standings, how that could play as we do head towards the SEC tournament. One game for sure on the schedule. Are they making up one more, two more? What's the deal? All that kind of look forward to. We'll run down the list. At least they took care of business and got the win last night. That would have been a complete disaster if they had somehow messed that up. So, still a top 25 team, still top half of the league, and we'll set up kind of where they are in the standings next as we kick off hour two, 3 and out.